because of Kuoka and his fucking Kimi no Nawa fucking update.
Literally, let it go, Danny.
Literally, Danny,
you gotta lock the door. Lock the door and throw the cat away and let it go.
Literally, it's because of Kuoka.
It's literally because of our own podcast. She hates it.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Anime Summit Podcast. It's your favorite host with the most, Sam the Bomb. And of course with me every week is Danny.
Hello, Sydney.
And Nick.
Hey, it's my Real Fake Doors shop. We got a lot of real fake doors. Come and buy some real fake doors.
Real fake Every time Nick does...
You guys seen that Rick and Morty one?
Right. No, I was just laughing at your salesman voice because every time you do it, it kills me. I don't know. I'm just like, ooh, come right on down. Like, it's
like, there's doors in the movie. That's why I said
that.
That's why you said that.
Dude, we're doing another fucking movie review, mate. All right. This week we decided to watch the latest film by Makoto Shinkai, Suzume, Suzume no Tojimari. Suzume's door locking, I guess is what it translates to. But yeah, we decided this is coming out soon for English, I think, or I thought it did already. I could be wrong. We'll get to that.
It had like some screenings, but then it's coming out in streaming supposedly July 8th, July 6th.
Oh, that's right. It had some Japanese screenings here in America. Yeah. So like, I don't.
Yeah.
But they're, yeah.
That's usually what happens. They do that, and then later on, they'll stream it. So,
mm-hmm. The English dub cast is, like, listed already. But either way, we took a little watchy-watch of this, and we're going to talk about it, okay? And, you know, it's Makoto Shinkai, you know? It's like, we enjoy his movies here at the Summit, I think. They're not, like, anything to... write a five page letter home to, but you know, they're pretty cool, I think.
Yeah, a couple of them are
really good. Some of them are just like, okay, I get it, you like this theme, so you just made another one. But you know, it's just like, you know, I enjoy them.
He's iterating. He's like AI. He gets a little bit better every time.
A little bit. He's learning. But yeah, dude, let's just dive on in, as King would say.
Dive on in.
As King would say, as Roger would say. If you've ever seen American Dad, you'll know why me and King do that all the time. We're just dive on it. Anyways, dude, before we do that, though, really quick, I just want to tell you about this. And then links.animesummit.net. Go there, and that's where you can follow and subscribe and listen to all that good stuff. And then patreon.com/animesummit. Be there or be square, okay? Become a patron. Give Honey Bear more freckles. And can I just say something, okay, really quick? I've had a rough couple of weeks, okay? And a lot of you were messaging me and giving me encouraging words and making me laugh, and I really appreciate that. And then Honey Bear got a little sick, and we had to take her to the vet. And a lot of you were concerned for the Honey Bear. So she's okay. She had like a urinary tract infection, and they were afraid that she might have had some like, what do you call it? Not kidney bladder stones, like you know what I mean. And then if they crystallize,
kidney stones.
No, not kidney stones. Bladder stones, because cats can get them in their female cats can get them in their bladder. Well, male cats too. Can get them in like their bladder, and like if they crystallize, it becomes a big problem. It turns out that she might have passed it, or they just might have saw it wrong, because when the bladders collapse, it looks closed and can show weird on an ultrasound. But when they finally got the urine sample from her on Monday or yesterday, Monday I guess, because you're listening to this on Friday, but Monday, they saw nothing. So she said that when she looked at it the last time, it was closed, so maybe that's why it gave a weirder image of it. But, like, when it was full and open, they could see there was nothing in there. So she probably just will get some antibiotics and then we'll be okay. But yeah, I got really scared. I was like, oh God, no, not again. But yeah, so the one, I'll give you the bad news now. The bad news is the doctor said that she's a little fat. So.
Well, we all knew that.
Yeah. You gotta dial it back. Not so many baked goods for Honey Bear.
She's over 15 pounds.
Oh my God.
I don't know if that's a, that sounds like a lot.
It's
for a cat.
It's a lot.
Yeah. For a cat. For a supposed cat,
to be like
10,
is it like 10 pounds is what they're supposed to be?
They're supposed to be, according to the chart, they're supposed to be a fine girl or a fine boy. And that's about, I think, 10 or 11 pounds, 10 pounds.
Okay. Well, I mean, just like lower the food
pounds.
A tiny bit.
Yeah, so we've lowered her food a little bit, and then we have to start giving her a little bit.
Oh, does she steal from the other cats? That's what happens sometimes.
Yeah.
That always happens, though. Like, one cat will just fucking hog all the food. Like,
yeah.
My other friend had that, too, and I actually felt bad for the other cat.
So, yeah. Anyways, thank you.
You got to put one of those Hannibal Lecter, like, muzzles across her face, you know?
Hello, Clarice. Yeah. So, yeah, thank you for all the kind words and the Honey Bear. Looking out for the Honey Bear. That being said, if you are a patron, look at the patron show recommendation form that Danny posted and in the patron channel. And I should post it on the Patreon, actual Patreon page, too, shouldn't I? I should do that.
Yeah, I told you to do that.
I fucking forgot, so I will do that. But that's going to be a you recommend a show to us and we review it type shit. We've done that once before, I think, and so we're doing it again, except now we have, like, a whole system. So go fill that out. Anyways, question of the week, Nick. Sorry, I went too long on that. But anyways, thank you for the Honey Bear. She's good. She's just fat. Okay, moving on. Question of the week.
This is from TCB. He asks, what is the easiest / hardest anime genres to recommend to a new fan? So one easy and one hard one.
Okay, here's the easiest one. Catch it one.
Oh my God!
No genre, Sama.
Genre,
shot. Not an anime.
Take
a genre.
Shot. That's just a show.
Genre.
Oh, genre.
Or a genre, as you call it.
A genre, yeah. Let me recommend you one of my favorite genders.
I think like
it's actually pronounced Jiner.
I think action adventure is pretty easy to recommend people.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Shonen.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot of those. Yeah, they. Keep you hooked, you know, and
yeah, you know. I think like slow burner dramas are pretty hard to recommend new fans because I don't know if they want to like just watch just dialogue and not a lot to not a lot going on, and I think
yeah,
also
like
I think slice of life's are pretty hard. Depending on which show it is, because nothing happens, because it's a slice of life.
All right, Sam?
I agree with the easiest one that Danny said. That, I'll say that. Hardest?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Hardest, I will say, like, romances depending on the romance, because a lot of those are slow burners, too. And you're just...
I mean, if that's what they're looking for, though. If they're looking for romance, I think that would... I can, like, name a few that is really good.
Well, it doesn't say that. It just says new fan. So, like, if they're... I take that as someone just going, hey, I'm looking to get into anime. What should I watch?
Yeah, but, you know, but then that's when you would ask them, like, well, what are you looking for kind of thing? Like, are you looking for more action or, like, do you want romance? Like, that kind of thing.
I mean, I guess, but...
That's what I would ask people. Like... I would ask them, you know, what shows that isn't, like, anime to give me an idea on what they like.
Well, that's not part of the question, Danny.
I'm just saying. Romance can be kind of easy if you're looking for
Cheed.
It.
I mean, right. I would say there's more slices of life out there that are, like, I don't know.
I mean, I definitely wouldn't recommend a slice of life to a new fan because
no,
unless it's Nichijou. Unless it's
well, sometimes but
unless
yeah.
It's Nichijou.
The average fan, Nichijou is hard to recommend.
No, it's great. Everyone would love it. Right away. It's so fucking funny, dude.
No, they wouldn't. Not everybody would like Nichijou.
Are you serious, dude?
More like Nichijou.
Dude, no. I would say also
oh,
anything that's super.
Sorry, Kai.
anything that has a bunch of anything that's really fan servicey, you might turn them off.
Boobies?
Yeah, because you don't.
Or you might turn them on. If it's a guy, yes. If it's a girl, no. How about that?
Maybe, because there's a lot of men out there.
I take that back. So if it's, well, we're talking boobie fan service, not guy. Male fan service, every girl loves that, okay? Everyone, okay? I'm putting you all in a little bucket. Nick's bucket of sexism, okay? So,
oh, God.
At least you can admit it.
It's because men in real life are ugly, okay? I'm sorry. We're hideous. Anyway, yeah, I agree. Action-adventure, that's the easiest one. Everyone already watches Shonen, like, you know, Naruto-type shit, Dragon Ball, Hunter x Hunter, One Piece.
Like, I could probably feel pretty good, like, if you're a new fan and you're like, I don't know, just something exciting, get me hooked, I would just say, like, you know, My Hero or Jujutsu Kaisen or something like that.
The hardest one, Iyashike. That's mine.
Yeah. Yeah.
The ones that make you feel calm. And it's like slice of life turned to 11.
Yeah.
So Danny is right, but not right enough.
Not right enough.
And then maybe like, I don't know, maybe like some weird ones. Never mind.
Yeah.
Recommend a new fan, Angel's Egg.
Yeah. I mean, there's like the really weird ones. That's not really a genre though, so.
Angel's Egg is not even a genre, dude. That's a funny statement. Dude, that show is not even a genre. Yeah, good
question. It's a lifestyle.
Good question, dude. Good question. That's a good one. That's a good one. Okay, Waifu and Husbando, Danny.
Waifu is our girl Suzume, and Husbando is Sota.
Yeah! Because, of course, you know.
I mean, who else would you
The pick? The main girl in the main chair, obviously.
The main chair.
Chair. Just say something.
He really was as a chair throughout the majority of the movie.
Just say something. Just say an answer. Chair. Something other than chair. Okay, what am I? Okay, chair. No, just not chair. What am I supposed to say? Just say anything. Anything? Yeah, whatever you want. Well, what if I can't think of anything? Just say something. Just say a word. Chair. Oh, man. Nah, dude. Let's get into this, huh? Suzume. From 2021. Okay. 2021, right? Yeah, 2021. That shit.
2022.
Oh, no.
2022.
I'm a liar. I'm a liar and a sinner and a farter and a mother. 2022. Okay. Studio Comics Wave Films. Very famous for hosting a bunch of OVAs and films, and of course, housing all of the team that works on Makoto Shinkai films, and directed by Makoto Shinkai, also the screenplay and original creator. Animation director is Kenichi Tsuchiya. Art director is Takumi Tanji. Character design by Masayoshi Tanaka. And Masayoshi Tanaka also had a hand in a couple of the cuts, as well as I think he was also animation director for the McDonald's commercial. Suzume McDonald's commercial, which I also watched, and I'm not going to lie, kind of want a McDouble right now. That being said, if you've had the new Grimace milkshake, let me know how it is. Here's a synopsis from...
Grimace makes it himself.
Ew. If your mind immediately went where I am, let's be friends. Where my mind went. Okay. Here's a synopsis from Mao, okay? My anime list. On her way to school one day, Suzume Iwato stumbles to a nearby ruin, but out of pure curiosity, she herself decides to head to the same destination. Oh, sorry. She runs into Sota, and he's on his way to a nearby ruin, and out of curiosity, she follows him there. Once there, Suzume discovers an isolated door with a dreamlike universe, lying beyond it, a place that she can see and feel but not enter. A strange stone rests on the ground nearby, but it turns into a cat-like creature and scurries away when Suzume lifts it. Suddenly afraid, she heads back towards her school, not realizing that her act of leaving the door open will have consequences. Yeah. And that's how the whole movie starts, right? That's the beauty of the Jeffrey, okay? It goes away, and then it comes back. That's literally what it felt like. It felt like I smoked a Jeffrey when I was watching some
parts. What the heck is a Jeffrey?
Weed, mostly. A little bit of this.
A little bit of this, a little bit of that, yeah. A little bit of fentanyl, you know?
You do interesting. You just can get him to the Greek.
Oh, a long time ago, yeah.
Yeah, the Jeffrey, it's like... He's like Subutex, methadone, a little bit of the glue. He's like, yeah. And then his dad's like, you know, keep it traditional, you know. Anyways, we don't do drugs over here, by the way. Well, weed. I think we all,
except for coffee.
Yeah, coffee and weed mostly.
And Jesus.
And of course, our Lord Christ. Kind of. Anyways. Speaking of religion and gods and shit, basically...
Yeah, I'm segueing.
Yeah, basically what Suzume has done is open a door to the ever after, or the afterlife. And where, you know, the people who have gone to the next place roam and remain, right? And there's this thing called, they call it the worm. It's not an actual worm, but it's like, that's the shape. And it is like the embodiment of natural disasters in Japan. And so you're supposed to keep these doors closed. And the stone that she picked up, it turns out, is a keystone. And the keystone is what helps, like, keep it, you know, closed for the most part. Or locked down for the most part, you could say. Now that Suzume has released the shits, you know, a bunch of bad stuff starts happening. And millions of people could die. Thousands of people could die. Would shake Japan all up in a tizzy. So, after she goes back to school, she sees it, and nobody else can see it, and she runs back, she closes the door with Sota, and then that's when he explains... Yeah, this is what happened. And so, that's where our movie starts. First thoughts, initial thoughts. What do we got for initial thoughts here, you guys? What did you think? Makoto Shinkai, new film, McDonald's commercial, McDouble.
It's another 2011 earthquake movie, just like your name. But it's also good, I would say. Maybe not quite as good
earthquake.
As your name. It was about the earthquake.
No, your name...
Your name had a meteor.
Yeah, but it represented the earthquake, though. That's what it was. Look it up, Danny.
Didn't it represent, like, a disaster that actually happened, right? Or
yeah, that's what I'm saying. The 2011 Tohoku earthquake.
In Suzume, it was also that, too. Something else.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's, like, two different versions of a similar disaster. Well, the same disaster.
Oh, no. So in Suzume, it was the 2011 Tohoku earthquake. In your name, it was something else.
It was partly inspired by the earthquake.
Okay. Well, so in Suzume, actually, he's like directly.
It's literally, they're both by the earthquake. Trust me on this. I'm looking it up right now.
But I'm saying in your name, they don't directly reference it like they do in this movie.
No, it's not directly. And then also in this movie, it's, well, we can get into it later. But initial impressions. I liked it.
Pretty good
out of 10.
Yeah. Yeah.
I assumed it was going to be another Makoto Shinkai movie going in, but actually I was pleasantly surprised because it was less romance than most of his other movies, which I kind of liked, actually. Because romance is dead.
Yeah.
And we're all husks.
This is kind of like the first Shinkai film I've seen where, like, the phenomenon has, like, more of an explanation and it's more right in front of them. Whereas, like, in Your Name and Weathering With You, it's just kind of like this random thing. Your Name, it was this meteor. and that somehow made
well that yeah that represented a bunch of stuff. They had, like, the Red Ribbon of Fate and stuff like that. No, I have to look up the
not necessarily what it represents or not whatever, but like in Your Name and in Weathering with You, it was just like this phenomenon. There wasn't any like direct explanation for it, whereas in Suzume it was like, no, this is the afterlife, these doors lead to it, and there are these gods and shit, and then this is the worm, and it created these earthquakes, and that's why it was a big deal. Like, there was more, like, it was the antagonistic side of the film had a more, like, it was a more direct thing, and explanation for it, whereas, like, in the other films,
a little bit.
The other films, it was
I gotta rewatch Your Name. I think Your Name, I've still only seen the shitty cam rip.
No, we watched the when Koka came over.
No, I think we watched a camera.
No, we didn't. It was the full-on thing, dude.
I know, but I think it was still one of those. Anyway,
it wasn't that bad. I don't remember, but I'm pretty sure it was the actual. Because I thought he.
I gotta watch it in a theater.
I thought he torrented it. Yeah, maybe we should watch it in the theater. But like,
that's my initial thought is watch this in the theater.
Yeah.
So Danny, best part of this movie actually was when the guy dropped his Mike and Ike's.
God.
I'm just kidding.
Danny, what about your initial thoughts, first thoughts?
I mean, it was definitely a Makoto Shinkai movie, that's for sure.
Danny hates Makoto Shinkai for some reason.
I don't.
Even though Danny
him,
likes
I'm
romance.
I'm really not a huge fan. You want to know why I'm not a huge fan? Is because of Kuoka and his fucking Kimi no Nawa fucking updates. Literally,
let go, Danny.
Literally,
Danny, you gotta lock the door. Lock the door and throw the cat away and let it go.
Literally, it's because of Kuoka.
It's literally because of our own podcast.
And when I actually finally watched the movie, like when I finally watched Your Name, I was just like, I really was not.
It didn't even matter what it was. You barely watched it.
I wasn't
just like, I hate
impressed. Like, it was fine. It was a movie.
All right.
But.
Different movie, though. What about Suzume?
Suzume, however, I did actually like Suzume. I think I actually like Suzume a lot more than Weathering With You and Your Name. It reminded me of Howl's Moving Castle a lot.
The anthropomorphic.
Well, no, not
furniture.
No, not because of that. I mean, well, in Howl's Moving Castle, you know, Sophie gets cursed, so she becomes an old woman, and she has to find like how to turn back and everything. And we have Sota, who gets transformed into a chair. So, and obviously, they're going on this journey. To one, not only figure out how to get him back, like back to his self, but also to close all the gates that have been going on, and everything like that. So, but yeah, I mean, I fairly enjoyed it. You know, there were some things, some climaxes that happened that I'm all like, yeah, like I said out loud, like, yeah, I knew that was coming. But yeah, I mean, you know, I'm probably not going to be talking as much as you guys with this because like it's a Makoto Shinkai movie. Like I was literally had no high expectations. Like this is going to be the best movie ever. Like so, yeah, it was enjoyable, but yeah.
It's gonna be the best. I mean, I went into it knowing it was gonna be another Makoto Shinkai.
Manchester United.
Another Makoto Shinkai film.
Yeah.
So the only thing I was comparing it to, or not really comparing it to, but like idea in my head that I had going into it was like it's probably going to have some crazy world phenomena that affects some fated lovers. And that's literally what happens. So the way now...
But it's not as much romance. It's actually almost no romance, I would say.
Yeah, like it's
which I kind of
like. It's like almost implied. Like there's
yeah.
They never like do anything romantic really.
Yeah. You just kind of like.
Also, what is the age of all these people? Like the two guys who are trying to be teacher. We'll get into it. I'm trying to figure out what their ages are.
Yeah, we'll get there when we get to the spoiler section when we're talking about what we liked about it. But, yeah, I agree. Yeah,
So Danny liked it more than she thought, and Sam, you liked it more or less than
I liked
thought,
it. Huh? I liked it a little more than I thought. Yeah, I liked it a little more.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so did I. All right, we were all pleasantly surprised.
So thoughts on some of the production stuff? You know, it's comics waves.
It looks great, dude. It looks fucking really good.
And you know, they've definitely improved since 2016. You know, Kimi no Nawa and
I mean, that one looked good too. But
I think each movie, yeah, that one looked great. So I think with each film, they've gotten better. You know,
that's probably true. Yeah, I want to sit them side by side, but I think you're right.
They've added more kind of techniques in some of the production. Tried to use more cinematic angles while. You know, making these, trying to make it more like a movie feel, you know, rather than just an anime movie. You know what I mean? A lot of the angles that Masayoshi Tanaka used were very cinematic, very like, and I think that's just more to Nick's points. Like, I probably would have loved watching this in the theater, honestly. I bet you I would have came out of it more like, man, I love this movie. This movie was great, you know. That being said, still looked really nice.
That's why I think a lot of. Oh, go ahead.
Oh no. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, like to the theater point, like a lot of the anime movies that come out in theaters have very high scores because, like, you paid money to go to the theater and you're like, oh, this is great. It's an experience. So I'm gonna give it a higher. Like on my anime list, they have this as 8.42.
Sure.
Which is pretty high. So. I think it's a good movie. It deserves a high score, in my opinion. But like most anime movies nowadays get like really high scores. So,
yeah,
that's just interesting.
And it's funny because like Masayoshi Tanaka, he did the character design, but he was also the animation director and key animation for the OP to Kimi no Nawa, and I don't know. It's like he got demoted or something. But like
he got demoted.
He's like, you're only doing the character design from now on. You suck.
They lock him up in a cage, like in what was that anime? Anyway, one of the ones where they're making anime. It starts with an S. Go ahead.
One of the ones where they're making anime. One of the animes where they're making anime. I a lot of cool boards and cuts in this. There was the scene towards the end.
Shirabako.
Oh, shitty taco. Yeah. The scene towards the end, which we won't get into right this minute, but we will later, but like, when she's kind of crying and, pulling the chair out, if you know what I mean. That was really cool. That looked really nice. A lot of the colors were really nice too. I would say you're probably going to go into it thinking like, oh, it's movie style, right? They got a big budget and it's going to look really nice. But, like, no. Like, I feel like if you've watched all of Makoto Shinkai films up till now, right, you'll say that I would hope that you would also see that it looks better than his last few films, you know? Even if you watch his very first, like, short film that he ever did, right, you can see how much better it gets, right? You know what I mean? Every time. So, but yeah. Other than that, I thought the sound was really nice. A lot of crazy sound effects with these worldly disaster things, you know, the earth shaking and earthquakes, the big worm crashing on things, and very nice. There's a lot of doors opening, that kind of thing. The sound design is
The budget was 20 to 30 million.
Ooh.
Which is not that much for a movie.
Yeah. And, of course, music by Radwimps again. But, like, I really do like the character design in this versus his previous films. They're a little bit more diverse, I feel like. Suzume's aunt, Tamaki, you know, she's very, you could tell, you know what I mean? Like, you could tell the difference in ages between these characters and, like, with their body shape and everything. And I don't know. I thought it was more diverse in this one than.
And they looked more. They had more people proportion. Well, I guess all of his movies do. Never mind. It's not. They have like somewhat realistic body proportions. So.
Yeah. That's what I meant.
Which
yeah.
they always have, but.
It just looks. I don't
it's
know.
Not like the crazy clamp designs or whatever.
Yeah, it looks better though in here. I don't know. I can't explain it. It just does. I don't know. But like.
Yeah, and this is the kind of character design that's hard to do because like you have to make their faces. It's like subtle differences. It's not like, oh, I have five colors in my hair and I have a big sword or whatever.
Spot the main character, yeah.
Yeah, spot the main character. It's Yu-Gi-Oh.
Just kind of the big bear. Exactly. That's exactly what I meant. That's what's kind of nice about it. You know, you could tell. It's funny because like there's a part where somebody that Suzume meets asks, oh, how old is your aunt? And she's like, oh, I think she's about 40. And she looks that way. She looks like a hot 40-year-old aunt. You know what I mean? Like, she looks the way her shoulders are, the way she carries herself. You know, the some of the character acting that
well,
was...
Well, the voice work, too.
By Eri Fukatsu. Yeah, like, some of the character acting that was animated in this film was way better than, like, than Weathering with My Ass and Your Ass or whatever. So
all I remember, the movie was like fun, but I just remember a lot of water, a lot of rain.
Yeah, Weathering with You was like,
it was a climate change movie.
We were all like,
that's what it was. Yeah.
It definitely was. But also the Weathering with You was almost more like just like a visual spectacle, as opposed to like, you know, Your Name and Suzume.
Yeah.
I guess I don't know.
I would say this is like on the shoulders of that. I think it does a better job.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
I need to sit down and just rewatch a bunch of his movies. I actually did watch the original five centimeters a second. The one that was, like, 20 minutes long that he made by himself.
Yeah.
I watched that in, like, I watched that in, like, I think I watched that after it came out. Just, like I torrented it or something.
There was...
In, like, 2008 or something.
I watched it in 2000...
Which is funny because I didn't know who he was. Someone just like, oh, hey, watch this.
Yeah, no, I watched like, it. Right. I watched it in 2008, and I watched it because Mario borrowed it to me on a DVD. And the DVD, I still have that DVD. And
yeah, it came out in 2002.
Yeah, and I asked Trisha if she wanted to watch it. She was just like, oh, okay. And I remember she moved in with me in 2008 at my parents' house, so we watched it. And yeah, that was the first thing I ever saw by him, which I didn't know was him, by the way. I just thought. You know, Mario got it at some convention. He was like, no, it's this guy who did it all by himself. It's awesome. You should check it out. But anyway, I should rewatch that too. Oh, yeah, we should do a little quick review on that one.
We should do the Ghibli thing, but with this guy.
Yeah, just do Voices of Distant Star, She and Her Cat, and some
just rank them.
Something else. Rank-a-dank. But yeah, the production in this one, very nice. I think it's an improvement on the previous two, honestly. And in terms of character design, cinematography, and, you know, a lot of the character acting animation was really nice. The backgrounds, you know, probably about the same as you would expect, you know, maybe from the previous. A lot of Japanese scenery, you know, a lot more countryside because, you know, as the previous two films kind of took place more so in bigger cities, whereas this one takes place in Kyushu and then kind of crawling up. The side, you know, of Japan as they travel. This movie kind of takes place across Japan, if anything. But, you know, the beginnings of it is in Kyushu, and then it goes upward. It goes north. But any other thoughts on production, Danny and Nick? Nick and Danny? Wingus and Dingus?
Wingus and Dingus. We'll figure out who's Dingus at the end.
Yeah.
I think you said it all. I mean... I have no problems with production. It looks good, sounds good.
Danny's like, it's a movie.
I will say that, you know, like last week, that the movie was all about shortening things and deleting things. This movie could have been a teensy bit shorter, I think.
Oh, I could, yeah.
I say that about every movie, though, except for the 90-minute movie. That one was probably could have been longer.
Yeah, no, I...
That's funny.
I kind of agree, yeah, because, like...
Maybe, like, they could have shaved a few minutes here and there. I'm not sure. Like, in the middle, it kind of slowed down a bit. I'm not sure what I would have cut, but yeah, there's probably a way to do it.
There was almost like two climaxes in it too. There was like a middle climax and then the end climax
yeah.
too. You know, so
it was, and it was 2 hour and 1 minute long. So I mean, I'm not saying shave like half the movie, but
yeah.
Maybe 10 minutes could be cut, give or take.
Yeah, why don't you calm the fuck down, Makoto Shinkai?
Well, that happens
just
a lot.
Just have
like,
the opening and
are...
then the ending credits. That's it.
Yeah.
Nick's goes, ideal movie right there.
And the chair just running through traffic.
Yeah. okay. Yeah, hell yeah. Danny, any thoughts on production?
It was definitely I really enjoyed like the different gates that they did, like the different doors of how like all the gates had different kind of doors. Like there was the classroom door and the original, the first door that we see.
It's like a door
just,
in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, in the middle of a resort, which I thought was super cool. That was...
Yeah, like that scene when Suzume first goes to that abandoned resort and all she sees is just the door in the center and it's not being supported by anything. I really liked that.
That was just beautiful to look at, like that whole, because
yeah,
the building that goes around this, like, it's really cool.
I will say I think production definitely has improved since Weathering With You and Your Name. I feel like Your Name and Weathering With You is pretty much like the same movie, in my opinion. I mean,
no, those are pretty different. I think we gotta
Them. Like, I'm not talking about like what happens in the movie. I'm pretty much talking about like
how it looks.
All the characters looked. Whereas
yeah.
this one, the characters looked very different. Like, they're their own characters. Like, I did not... While I was watching the movie, I wasn't thinking in my head, oh, this character looks like so-and-so from Your Name and all that kind of stuff. And, I mean, I don't know if I caught it. Like, I don't know if you guys caught it, but I definitely didn't catch it because I know in Weathering With You... Shinkai, he like put cameos of the two main characters from Your Name in Weathering With You. I didn't see anything like that in this movie. So.
Oh yeah, I totally forgot about that.
Yeah. So yeah. I kind of appreciate that. Like I don't really need to see those characters anymore. Like that's their own movie. If I wanted to go see them, I'll watch their own movie. So I was glad that there was no like quick cameo. I mean, I could be wrong, like either I just was not paying attention to that or anything. So but
I think that's more to that kind of was what I was saying earlier. It was, you know, like the faces are more diverse and the character design is more diverse.
Yeah. So I definitely really liked that they were, they're very different.
Makoto Shinkai, same face.
Yeah.
Didn't happen in this one as much.
Yeah, and I mean, the backgrounds in this were fantastic. Personally, I think I really liked kind of the finale of the movie.
It was real nice.
With the worm and all of that.
Jumping around, all the lights everywhere.
Everything all coming together.
In the dark.
Door, the
that and like...
Cat-faced Johnsons.
Just the scenery alone throughout that whole journey and everything was really nice. I even really liked Sota's friend, Shirazawa. And everything, like
Serizawa,
you know, like he comes by, like he comes up all of a sudden, and then Suzume was all like, hey, you know, I need your help, like but after a while, I mean, Serizawa was all like, I need your help to find Sota because he owes me money and all this kind of stuff. And Suzume was all like, no, I don't want to go with you. But then all of a sudden, Tamaki comes around and was all like, you're coming home right now. And then Suzume is all like, no, I'm not. I'm going with this guy.
Yeah.
So, and they went on like their little road trip and stuff. And I really liked that road trip. Number one, okay. So the first song that is played while they're driving is is the theme song for Kiki's Delivery Service.
Yeah.
Oh no, didn't they also play the song from His and Her Circumstances?
They played a bunch of them.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they played the OP or the ED for His and Her Circumstances.
But the one that I'm definitely referring to is the one that is in Kiki's Delivery Service, is the theme song by Yume Ari. So that I thought that was pretty cool to like just throw that in there nonchalant. So because I was listening to it, I'm all like, wait a second, I know this song. And I like quickly Shazammed it and then I like Googled it and stuff. I'm like, yep, okay, I was right. So I liked that. I liked that little, you know, reference. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed a lot of the stuff that happened in it. I really liked Suzume's journey. When or like her first stop was
okay. Are we moving on to like the story part? We were still talking. I was asking you about.
Yeah,
I guess. Okay. Yeah. I guess.
Okay. All right. Let's have some more ping pong here, Danny.
Okay.
Thoughts on story. Spoilers. We're entering the spoiler section. So if you don't want to spoil it for yourself, turn it off. Shut up. Go get me a McDouble. Okay. Here we go. Now go ahead, Danny. Finish your thought.
And it is supposedly coming out in early July. It's streaming.
Oh yeah. So if you want to watch it, it's supposedly coming out in early July.
You might need a VPN. You might need a VPN. It might only be certain regions. I don't know.
It's not confirmed.
Not confirmed.
Not confirmed. Rumor. Okay. Now go get me.
Come out some point.
Okay. Now go get me a McDouble. Danny, go ahead. No pickles.
I'll take some pickles.
Okay. Put on the pickles. I'll give them to Danny. Okay. Go ahead. And a large coke. Okay.
What was I saying? Oh yeah.
So you like the part that and then I stopped you. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Just Suzume's journey in general.
Oh sure.
And you know, obviously the aftermath of Sota being transformed into this chair and how he's all like, yeah, I'm the closer, and you know, this doesn't concern you and everything. And Suzume was all like, well, it's going to be pretty weird. And like, you're already the talk of the internet with like you running away, like running at a freaking cat. And, you know, people are just like, that chair is running on its own. So like, I think that, you know, you'd need my help. So
yeah, when Sota he's from a long line of closers who's like responsible for closing those doors, and the cat turns him into the keystone, puts his soul into Suzume's chair. So that's why me and Nick were making the chair joke earlier.
Yeah.
Chair.
Well, it was also because Sota was also sitting in that.
He was sitting in the chair. That's right.
He was actually sitting in the chair, and Daijin was all like, you're going to go away. And all of a sudden, he's the chair.
He's the chair. Yeah.
So, but her journey, I really liked the people that Suzume met during her journey and stuff.
Dude, I loved that.
I thought that was super cute and everything. Like, not only it's like, okay, yeah, we're going on this, like, disaster journey, but here, let's throw in some of, like, these like lighthearted, cute little moments that Suzume meets.
And they just help her because they're like, I don't know where you're going, but you know.
Yeah, like she doesn't, I mean, Suzume doesn't give any like context of like why she's like,
running away. Doing this? They thought she was a runaway or something.
Yeah,
or
the mom that she met before Suzume went to Tokyo.
Yeah.
She went to Kobe or something like that. Yeah, Kobe. That's where she was headed.
She went to Emihei and then Kobe and then yeah.
Right. So but the way that Rumi, the mom, was all like, I mean, you know, she's a runaway. Like, she at that, it like a lot of people in the movie were all like, well, it's to be expected when you're at that age. Like, you just want to have a rebellious phase and this and that and the third. I mean, when I was that age, I definitely did not run away at all. I definitely had a rebellious phase, but I wasn't a runaway.
Yeah, me and but Dana. That's, yeah. Nobody understands me.
That's clearly not why Suzume is doing this, obviously, but they don't know that because Suzume never told them and stuff. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I really liked the side characters that she met along the way. So, yeah. Okay.
Me too. Me too.
I don't know where I'm getting the July 8th number.
Go ahead, Nick. You go.
I was looking up when Suzume is releasing, and like, I'm on this website. Never heard of it. They said it's Disney Plus July 8th, but they called it a franchise. And I'm like, wait, is there a different Suzume? I don't know what they're talking about. Take everything with a grain of salt. Yeah, I don't know when it's coming out streaming.
That
so.
Might be Japanese Disney Plus too. So
I don't know. I can't.
I thought I remembered reading that somewhere too a while ago, but.
Because they do like to keep them out of the theaters for a while to get more movie tickets and everything. But is it still in U.S. theaters right now?
Oh, no. It was only like, no, it's not. It was only like a 3 year.
April's when it came out.
Yeah, it was like a 2 to 3 day event. That's typically what happens with anime releases in the U.S. It only has
movies. There are a lot harder to watch like on time. That's why it's like, oh, it came out in 2022, but not here. So that's why we're reviewing it now, because supposedly it's coming out soon. But anyway, where were we? Talk about the story?
God, Nick was doing his own thing. He's just like,
I'm just like scrambling to find the info.
Yeah, just like, did you like the story? What were your thoughts on the story? Favorite parts?
Yeah. I did double check also while Danny was talking that the His and Her Circumstances theme song was in Suzume. It was on his car radio.
Yeah,
in the car. And I didn't even need Shazam for that. What do you think about that, Danny?
You still need a Google, though.
Yeah, well.
You probably just looked it up on ChatGPT.
No, like I told you, ChatGPT doesn't even have information for this shit. I tried it already.
You tried it already.
Mm.
All right. I liked how the chair had a little social media account. That was cute, I guess. And I think the cat did too for a little bit. But yeah, like because people were like, "What's happening with this chair running around?"
People just saw them and was like, "Oh, look at the cute little cat! I'm gonna take a picture of it and put it on Twitter."
And they saw a chair walking. They're like, "Holy shit!"
Yeah, everyone was just like videotaping and taking pictures of Daijin and Sota just running around all of Japan, and they were pretty much like what was trending on the internet.
Yeah, I did think it reminded me of when I forget who made it, but somebody made a robot that was traveling across the United States, and it made it to Philadelphia. They just like beat it up. This chair would not survive in Philadelphia, okay? Those people, they're animals. No, I'm kidding. It's like Always Sunny in Philadelphia. You got, like, Frank and Charlie. They'd see the chair, and they'd do something to it. But anyway, Suzume. So, a lot of running in this movie. This is very Ghibli-inspired running. She's running the whole movie. She must have run 45 miles this movie.
45?
Okay, I've noticed that.
45 miles.
As far as throughout the movie, she keeps seeing these like worms in the sky, like these big red, like plumes. And people are getting like earthquake notifications on their phone, but there's not actually earthquakes happening. and like only she can see the plumes, right? Nobody else can see them. But other people can, like some of the other people can see the chair moving and the cats talking. And they think that's weird. Cuz like the cats are like Kami, right? And the chair is oh shoot. I watched a video. I'm ping-ponging everywhere here. So there's a very good video that describes like the Japanese myths and references for Suzume, and it's from a new creator called Cinema Tokyo, and this is, we can maybe link it in the show notes, but this person describes like the afterlife, the door, the particular shrines. They're called what are they called here? I wrote it down. The Ubu Tsunagami shrines, and then various other aspects of like the keystones, like you guys mentioned, locking the door. What does it mean? What does a chair mean? And then the big sister, and yeah, so there's a bunch of videos. So yeah, and the person is Japanese, so they live in Japan. They know exactly what they're talking about. Like they understand what Suzume is referencing, and like what are the implications? Like what are the cultural and political, and you know, what's the background of it? So they can kind of describe that really well. So everybody, check out Cinema Tokyo. We will. Sam will link it in the show notes. Okay, Sam, is that okay? I didn't write down enough notes. I just briefly watched the video before coming on the pod.
I mean, he does explain the Japanese lore behind it really well. All the Shinto religious elements borrowed from it and stuff like that is really cool, honestly. Which, you know, it's thrown in through this movie in a modern, exaggerated format. You know what I mean? So I thought that was really cool because I didn't know any of that. So I just thought it was like, all off the top of Makoto Shinkai's noggin, he was like, okay, there's two doors, right? It's like, you know what I mean? But like, no, it's actual like keystones are a real thing. You know, when they bless new construction projects, like, and how they asking the gods to let them use the land and to bless the land before they use it and build over it and stuff. But yeah, I think that's part of it too, right? Because in the movie, where all the doors are in these abandoned parts of Japan, okay? They went through...
Yeah, because of depopulation. Well, they had the earthquake, but also Japan has been having depopulation for many, many years now.
Yeah, and...
So it's all of the above.
So, like, the, you know, the abandoned water resort, the abandoned fairgrounds where the third door was, and then in the last area where Suzume goes to find... her door, I'll just call it. You know, it's like in this old neighborhood, her hometown, you know, which is no longer there.
Well, and we're getting into spoilers, right?
Yeah, I already said. I already gave the spoiler warning, yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, that her door is like, it's like a metaphor for like her panic attacks. Like the worms are her own panic attacks, kind of. That's how I see it anyway. It's maybe not literally what it is, but... because she can see them and other people can't. But the doors are just like, they're the, you know, the door to the afterlife, but they're also her not letting go of her mother who died in the disaster. So that's kind of the climax of the movie, is like her coming to terms with all that and like looking forward again, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
Because her aunt was the one who actually took care of her all those years. And then, you know, they had, her and the aunt had a fight and everything, and the aunt had some resentment, and, like, they made up from it and all that. But, yeah, that's what, like, the door was, and she had to, like, lock it and, like, you know, come to terms with everything and, like, comfort her child self. And that was a really good climax, so that was great. But, why didn't anybody just tell her early on when one door closes... another one opens and a window opens or something, right? That crappy little thing that everybody says. That would have solved everything.
That would have solved everything. No, I agree. Yeah. I think maybe that's why I kind of like this more than the other films. I don't know. Maybe it's just because the theme was like more...
poignant.
It was more direct to me. Whereas like Your Name was kind of just like, I want to write a story about star-crossed lovers, right? And then it's like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
And then Weathering with You.
Well,
was
you
like,
needed to. I feel like you needed to know more. You don't actually need to know all the Japanese mythology to understand Suzume, but you kind of need to know a lot to understand your name a little bit.
Yeah, I definitely, watching Suzume, I definitely didn't know that until I watched the video you just spoke about. You know what I mean? And I still enjoyed it the same.
And it definitely helps. If you know more, it definitely helps. Makes it better, yeah, too. But
I enjoyed it the same. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, I kind of like that. I kind of like it's more like, you know, Weathering With You was like, it was like a clear visual spectacle that was like climate change. And it's like, okay, yeah, we all agree on this. We're all going to die because the earth is fucked. Okay, let's come on, you know, like
I'm just imagining like a world leader saying that. They're like, ah, we're all fucked.
It's been too long. What are you going to do? You know, but like,
yeah, what are you going to do? smoke a cigar.
But that's a bad attitude to have. We should care more. But like, I recycle. Okay, but no, like,
hey, we're trying. We're going slow, but we're slowly getting there.
Yeah. But no, like, I agree. I think the lore make for me knowing some of that stuff makes it cooler. It was just kind of cool, to kind of see those aspects. And it's like you might think like, oh man, this is another anime film where they're just talking more about Japanese stuff and culture and things like that. But it's like in here, it kind of like, it's not necessary to know, you know, so it doesn't even really matter. But like, it's just kind of cool. It makes it cooler. I don't know. But yeah, I do like that aspect. I liked, and like we spoke about earlier too, like it was the 2011 Tohoku earthquake, where Suzume lost her mom and her home. And that's where the last door is, which is like, it turns out that she wandered into that door when it happened, and that's how she survived. And that's why she's able to, even though she's not a closer or part of the family of closers, that's why she's able to like open those doors and see the ever after and things like that. And that's kind of like,
that's also why she doesn't drink coffee, because coffee is for closers.
Oh my God. I know you, sorry. you thought about that real hard too. Like you like
no, I just thought of it just now.
Oh, did you? Okay.
That's... Well, you like walked into it.
I did. Yeah, I walked into it. Literally walked into the door. No,
I don't even know what movie that's from. I just know it's a meme.
No, that's funny. That's good. That's funny. Yeah. No, and I that last part too. I agree with you, Nick. It, like that was so fucking cool, man. Like, I liked that. Like that time dilating thing at the end, to me was cooler than the one in Your Name. I don't know. It just was. I might be hyping it up too much, and I don't want to do that, obviously, because given what Quokka did with Your Name, but like I talking about it now with you guys, I kind of enjoy this more than Your Name, and I don't know.
That's I'm saying.
I know.
Well,
I
gotta rewatch it. I think Your Name might still be better, though. That's the thing.
Think
I gave it like a 9 or an 8 or something. I don't know.
You go ahead, and you know what, Nick? You do that, and you get out of my face. Because you know what? I might be. I know we shouldn't be comparing it too much. I might be hyping it up too much. It's just like the only other Makoto Shinkai movie that I think worth comparing to, right? In my opinion. So maybe that's why I keep making that comparison. I don't know. But, like, everyone loved Your Name, right? It was this big fucking deal when it came out. And it's just, like, everyone... There was people saying, like, can Makoto Shinkai top it? Can he top it? I don't know if he can, man. And then Weathering With You came out, and it was just kind of like, eh, this is okay. This is pretty good, I guess. And then I kind of feel like he topped it a little bit. Maybe not by much, but... I don't know. The pacing.
I don't think so. I think Your Name's better.
The pacing and screenplay with this one I liked better.
So highest grossing Japanese films worldwide. Demon Slayer is number one. Number two is Spirited Away. Number three is Your Name. And number four is Suzume.
Damn it.
And this is get fucked.
This is
song
this
by
is,
the by the by the invisible hand of the market. What do you think of that?
This is worldwide though. This is worldwide.
Mr. Yeah. Worldwide.
Yeah. Highest grossing Japanese films in Japan. Your Name is still number three. Suzume comes in with at number 9.
Well, Suzume is still pretty new, so it's less than a year old.
Yeah, yeah. But it still did very well, Suzume did. It grossed over $323.4 million worldwide. So it became the highest grossing film of 2022 worldwide, at least. So, I think personally, I'm with Sam. I think this is better than Your Name. Like, the story is completely different. Similarity is like disaster and stuff. Yes, like that theme is still there, but completely different characters. Doesn't even, it's not like a continuation of kind of like Your Name or anything, like how Weathering With You was similar, because it gave you the cameo of the first main characters of Your Name and everything. So there's no kind of like, I guess, like same universe type of deal. So yeah, I think the characters in this movie were way more likable than the characters in Your Name. So
mm-hmm.
That's just my opinion. I watched this, we're recording Tuesday, so I watched this morning at like...
Recency bias.
I watched it like 8 o'clock this morning while I was having breakfast. And
that's a long breakfast.
I mean, it wasn't like a super long breakfast. I was done by the time like an hour.
I know.
Came.
I'm joking. You had a two-hour breakfast.
She had a full English fry up. Okay, Nick, leave her alone. She's getting her protein, and she had a fucking whole.
Yeah, she's getting her protein.
She had a whole can of beans.
Treat yourself.
Four slices of bacon, which the bacon over there is just Canadian ham bacon, whatever. Then she had the fucking...
A huge tomato.
What do you mean bacon over there? What are you talking about?
A full English fry-up, Danny, is what I'm talking about. UK fry-up.
Yeah, Danny, you ever had a full English fry-up? Are you even English?
5 sausages.
No, I'm not English.
4 things...
Sam is more English than you,
4
Danny.
Slices of black pudding, 5 whole eggs, 5 slices of fried bread, 5 slices of buttered toast, a whole can of beans, fucking a huge thing of tea, a huge thing of coffee... Get her done. That's what she
well,
had.
Well, Sam, we know that's what Honey Bear ate, but what did Danny eat?
I had McDonald's breakfast. I had 2 McGriddles and...
2 McGriddles? Golly.
Yeah, 2 sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles and oatmeal. That's what I had.
Don't do
that's a big breakfast.
Don't do Honey Bear like that. Don't do it like that.
But anyway, let's save it for the breakfast podcast.
Dude.
Yeah, save it for Simon. You know what? Save it for the Breakfast Club, okay? We're introducing a new podcast, and we're gonna name it the Breakfast Club. Nobody's ever thought of that name, by the way.
Dude, there's already.
There's.
I was gonna say it's like
there's already.
It's like some kind of club.
There's already a podcast. Breakfast time. There's already a podcast called that.
There's also a radio show up in New York. That is called The Breakfast Club.
Yeah, that's the podcast I was talking about. Yeah, sorry. It's a radio show. No, yeah, it's a radio show. Yeah. Which is funny that Nick says that because...
Honey Bear's banned from it.
No, because Nick, like, remember when you went crazy? You thought that meme was hilarious, the one of Birdman going, put some respect on my name. That's where that happened, was that radio show.
Oh, okay.
Nick's like, oh.
That's neat.
Today I learned. Nah. Anyways, Your Name is great. All right. Have a good job, everybody.
Yeah, this is a Suzume podcast.
Your Name is no, I but not. I'm with that though.
If it's so bad, how come it lives rent free in your brains, huh?
How come
it
Danny was? How come
does Your Name have? Oh, you know what? I was just defending Suzume. Does Your Name have a dancing running around chair?
No, it doesn't.
You know what? You guys are right.
Your Name doesn't even have talking cats.
I can't even eat. a full English fry up during Your Name, like I can with Susie.
Wait, how long is Your Name?
Oh, wait, I think it's about the same. Oh, 100, no, Suzume is longer. Your Name is 107 minutes.
Oh, you're right. Suzume has more time, therefore it's better. Yeah, but how about this? Your Name is closer to 90 minutes.
Oh, here you go to the 90 minutes.
What is that, Jeopardy rule? Not Jeopardy. Price is Right rules.
Actually, Suzume is longer.
That's what I'm saying. It's not closer. It's farther away from 90 minutes. So it's a worse movie than
the one
you gave a 10 yesterday, last week. Whatever.
It, depending on what it is, I enjoy longer movies. And quite frankly, I don't even feel like, I didn't feel like that this was a long movie.
No, it definitely paced nice. It had a nice pace to it.
I'm just saying they could have trimmed a teensy bit, you know? Maybe 8 minutes to make it 1 hour, 52 minutes, like the better movie, Your Name, you know?
I mean, I guess. I guess if you want to, like, shave off a little bit of, like, their little road trip kind of thing.
It's fucking funny, dude.
Quite frankly,
I'm not a director. I don't know what I'd shave. But
that, personally, that road trip with...
I'm not saying I'd shave that. I'm just, something.
I mean, something. I don't know.
Something.
I don't know.
That's fucking
shave 30 seconds somewhere.
That's fucking funny, man.
That's my go-to complaint. Yeah, it could have been shorter. It's just
okay,
like Pompo. So generic. Yeah.
It's too long. No, okay, so now
Nick wants to shave everything. He wants to shorten our podcast.
He wants to shorten
this movie.
We're too long-winded, Danny. We've been talking for 5 hours.
No, we haven't. What are you talking about?
See, this is the part of the podcast where we start acting goofy because we have like...
You know what I'd shave? The part where she's working for free for the ladies and the other person.
No, those parts were so great. That's
that
why you're
so
a butt snapper.
That was so good, though. That was like...
I'm saying shave.
You
I wouldn't cut
know
it. Shave. I'd shave.
What I know, what you know.
Just a little trim off the top, you know? Just a few hairs. So you look a little...
Yeah,
a bit off
the top. Pip-hop. What? Nah, dude, you don't know what you're
talking about. This
movie
is pretty lewd. She sits on that chair.
It's hot. It's hot to me.
It's a little bit much there. Oh, yeah, I was going to ask about the ages. So the guy is in college, and his friend
21.
Is in college.
He's 21. I looked it up. I looked it up.
But his friend, I'm guessing they're the same age. And then, like,
his
friend is just
22.
Like, his friend is just, like, fucking macking on her aunt, and she's, like, fucking 15 years older than him or something.
So?
She's it's like, goddamn Japan.
At least he's
God
of age. It's not like he's
that's
like
some Ashton Kutcher shit.
It's not like he's
16 you know what he dated
that or anything like that. He's of drinking age.
Well, he acted a lot older than 22, but maybe that's just Japan. Maybe we just suck over here.
Maybe we just suck over here. Yeah,
some people are. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I just assumed that she was a junior, so she's probably 16 or 17, right?
Susan
yeah,
is 17.
I think she's 17. She's like barely 17. But the funny thing about this movie is the top Mal review is it's a 2 out of 10, not recommended. And half the people, no, like 80% of the people who read the review gave it a funny score or a confusing score. Oh, it's really funny.
I mean, this is probably that. It's probably some kind.
Well,
of
my Japanese isn't perfect. It's safe to say I understood about 90% of the dialogue, and using context clues, I could determine the specifics. Oh man! This is the best part. By the way, if any girls are watching this movie hoping to see the cute anime boy, he turns into a chair for 90% of the film. So you can drop that idea.
Dude, this person needs to calm down.
This is hilarious. I love this review, dude. I'm gonna link it in our chat. But yeah, my anime list coming in clutch again. This is how Nick reviews things. He just reads other people's work, you know?
300
for ChatGPT, there's chat NICK.
328 confusing reacts and 276 funny reacts to this guy's review.
I gave him a funny. It was a good review. I liked it.
22 well written reacts. No, not at all.
it was funny, dude.
God, I don't know. I feel like I don't know. I don't trust Mal reviews. I don't know what they're talking about.
I don't. Sam's like, I don't trust like that.
I don't trust like that, dude. I don't know. Anyways,
I'd like to buy an automobile.
Okay, all final right. Scores.
final scores. We've been going for an hour 15 here. So what do we got? What do we got? Danny, what do you got?
So,
well, the first 5 minutes we were fucking around.
You can give it a grade, a tier,
no,
whatever.
I'm giving it a score because that's how I score.
That's how
are we doing the objects?
Doing the objects.
I'll do objects. I'll do objects.
Do the anti-list score. Give it like a 73 or whatever you want to do.
I don't do. Like,
I'm making up a number.
The 70s, like the 100 point scores that.
Danny's not a fan of the 70s. She's never, she wasn't alive.
What?
Then.
Get out of here. I love
you
the
said it.
Their pants were too big.
Anyway, I'm giving Suzume an 8 out of Sota moving 3-legged chairs.
So wait, you got to say that reverse though. It's 8 chairs out of 10.
And a partridge and a pear tree.
We're really done. We're done.
Cheers.
We got to just give scores and then close the podcast.
I give it the same. 8. 8 McDonald's adverts in a Makoto Shinkai movie out of 10. All
right. I'm going to give it 8 lost little girls in a random field.
Wow, that's morbid.
In another dimension. Yeah, what's your problem, dude?
Well, it's fine. She had Howl's Moving Castle to keep her company. So, you know. This is actually like in the Howl's cinematic universe.
I literally just said that. I said that this movie reminds me of Howl's Moving Castle.
I'm glad that Sam agrees that I thought of that idea. So, there. Not enough hats, though. Not enough hats in this movie.
Not enough hats in this movie. Like,
that's why I only got an 8.
No sun hats. That's it. It's a 3 out of 10.
3 out of 10. Dude. Yep. No sun hats. Hey.
Some people just don't have taste.
I know some of you in the...
Oh, and sidebar. Anybody in the Discord, if you find any cute art or like little pictures of islands, I love that shit, okay? Islands. Nick is an island. I like islands and I like sun hats.
He's an island... He's an island fetishizer. Hey. I know some of y'all listened to... Or not listened. Some of y'all went and saw Suzume, I'm pretty sure, in our Discord. If you're not in Discord, you should join. Links on animesummit.net. There's a Discord link right there. But also, if you watch Suzume, let us know what you thought of it. Let us know if you agree with our scores or if you think we don't know what we're talking about and you'll never listen to our podcast again. That being said, I'm really sorry. I hope you do come back and listen because I personally think I'm a little funny. Nick is pretty funny and Danny's pretty funny sometimes. And occasionally, we like to talk about other things, not just anime, okay? Sometimes I talk about the thing growing on my right calf. That being said, Makoto Shinkai, thank you for another enjoyable watch. Let us know if you watch it and what score you gave it, okay? I love you guys very much. Thanks for listening every week, okay? I appreciate your support every week. It means a lot to us. I love you guys. Thank you. I've been Sam. That's been Danny. That's been Nick. And we've been the Anime Summit Podcast.